live from downtown Portland, Oregon. I'm Tess Vigeland, and this is Marketplace Money. If you're a parent, at some point in your child's life, you're going to have the talk. At least you're supposed to, right? Well, if you think what we're talking about involves the birds and the bees and illegal narcotics, you need to be ready for questions like these.
How much money do you make?
Can I have a credit card?
What's a recession?
Are we rich?
Who's Bernie Madoff?
Okay, maybe not that last one. We have just lived through the worst financial meltdown in a generation. Some of it because the system failed us. Some of it because, I don't know, maybe we're just greedy and stupid. Today we'll explore how to keep the next generation from the same fate. We are going to have the talk about money. But first, this news.
Marketplace Money is supported by Putnam Investments, supporting financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide since 1937. Putnam, a world of investing.
Live from the Dolores Winningstad Theater at the Portland Center for the Performing Arts, I'm Tess Vigeland, and this is Marketplace Money! Dedicating the show to kids and money. You know, a friend here in Portland told her daughter about today's topic, and she said, "Yay, does that mean kids get money?" Yes, Andrew Jackson's for everyone. Look under your chairs. No, I'm just kidding. Unfortunately, we're on a public radio budget. But in light of what has happened over the last year, what with the federal government bailing just about everybody out, it was an expensive education for all of us. So let's talk about how we educate our kids about the joys and pitfalls of money. First up, I'd like to introduce Portland's own, and they asked me to say it this way, Livewire Radio Sketch Comedy Troupe Faces for Radio Theater, with their take on a recent and imagined school board meeting.
It's just ridiculous. I can't believe it. It's terrible.
All right, I call this meeting of the school board officially to order. Seems we have quite a few interested parents this month, so let's get to the first order of business.
Yeah, first order of business is what you're teaching our kids.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, what right do you have?
Okay, it seems we won't be able to avoid addressing this. Ma'am, do you want to approach the mic and tell us just what's...
How dare you, sir? And ma'am, and that other ma'am, and that sir, and I'm sorry, that haircut confuses me, ma'am, sir, but...
All right, I think that about covers us. What's your problem?
You know what my problem is. That there are some things that simply should not be taught in our schools. They should be left for the parents to teach.
That's right, just for us.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Well, I'm not going to say it.
Well, ma'am, you're going to have to say it if we're going to resolve this.
Fine. My daughter came home from school today and asked if I, or my husband, had ever had...
Spit it out, ma'am.
A 401k!
Okay.
Okay? We don't discuss finances in our house. We're not that kind of family.
Yeah, last night my son asked me about savings bonds.
And?
Well, they go against everything we believe. We've been a treasury bill family for generations. Did you even consider that, you filthy bonder?
Hey, now, let's not resort to name-calling.
My son asked if our budget had been affected by the recession. We were trying to hide that from him.
What, the recession?
Well, I'm not saying it hasn't been hard. Stupid internet.
Yes.
The internet's terrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's all calm down and think about this for a minute. It's an ugly financial world out there, and somebody has to prepare your kids for it.
Yeah, I suppose.
So you've got to buck up and talk about the scary stuff. The budgets, saving for a rainy day, credit.
Fine.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do it. But does this mean I can put off that other awkward conversation for a couple years?
Absolutely not, ma'am.
Dang.
All right, our first guest is Beth Kobliner, who's going to be our go-to expert throughout the next hour or so. She's a good friend of the show, the author of the book Get a Financial Life. Even more importantly, she is mother to three children, 14-year-old Becca. We're going to meet her later. 11-year-old Adam and 5-year-old Jacob. And Beth, I think maybe your most important bona fides here, she's been on Oprah. Welcome, Beth.
Three times. Thank you. Great to be here.
So I want to ask you a question I've been asking for the last several weeks. Why don't we talk about money with our kids? We have the talk about all kinds of other things.
Right.
Money never seems to make it into the top three. Why?
Money is really the last taboo. You know, I think credit cards are the new smoking in that we don't talk about it. We have all these public service announcements when it comes to, you know, teach your kids about drugs, teach your kids about the birds and the bees, teach your kids about drinking. And we know to do it at a very, very young age. And there's all this research to back it up. But I think when it comes to money, I think people don't know all that much and they're fearful that they may not pass along the right advice.
Well, then let's start out with the most basic question. If we are going to have the talk, what age should you start talking to your kids about money?
You know, I believe that you can say it's as soon as they can talk, but I think it's even earlier than that. I think as soon as they could point to that piece of candy, you know, in the store.
So that's what, 2 years old?
I'd say 2 or 3 years old. You put the stroller in and they point and they want it and you say, you know what? We're not going to buy it. And you don't say it's because we don't have the money. You say it's because it's not what we need right now.
I want to spend a couple of minutes on a subject that comes up over and over again when you talk about kids and money, and that is the allowance.
Right.
Did you have one?
You know, I didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't either. So
there you go. That's about it.
So are you a proponent of the allowance?
I really am. And I have to say, you know, part of it, I think it's a very important tool for parents to give to their kids to learn how to, you know when to spend their money, when to save their money, and maybe even when to give some money away to charity.
Should it always be given as a reward for work, which is kind of how we think about it? Or is it an educational tool just for being a member of the family?
I think that it should not be, you know, you don't want your kid to hit you up every time they make your bed, you know, kind of a quarter mom or empty the dishwasher, give me 50 cents. Yeah. But I think it should, you know, everybody in the family is a contributor to the family and it's a privilege to get allowance. But I think particularly for younger children, they should be expected to, you know, you have to teach them. You can't just, you know, hand them $5 and say, here you go. They have to learn the basics of how to save some of it and maybe spend some of it. And there are guidelines attached. And I think it's very important not to get too complicated. I know people who set up spreadsheets and they get all crazy and that could be a little much too.
Well, in terms of talking about money within the household, how much might be too much when it comes to all this money talk? How much sharing should we be doing with our kids?
TMI, as my daughter says. I think it is important to be honest with them. And just like you shouldn't tell a little kid, you know, oh, we can't afford it, because then they're going to see you buy something else. And they'll say, wait, we couldn't afford that, but they're buying that. I also think you have to share with them, you know, if a child wants something and you don't think it's something that the family right now can afford, it's okay to say, we spend this much on health insurance a year. We spend this much. And it's not used to guilt them into not wanting those things, but explaining, because they don't know.
Let's briefly tackle what I think is a question for those with older kids. Which is the more desirable lesson as they're getting older? Teaching your child to be a good little borrower, have a good credit score, be credit responsible, or teaching them not to go into debt at all for things they can't afford?
Right. I am a firm believer in making sure children of all ages know that you shouldn't buy items that you can't afford. And I think that's a lesson that we haven't been teaching children. You know, the average college student graduates with $4,000 in credit card debt. I think this is imperative that people teach young children this notion, this, you don't buy something that you can't afford. And I think, you know, the only education or the main education that's being done in our country are credit card companies teaching people to be good borrowers. And I say that in quotes, which means only pay those minimum payments. And as we all know, that ends up costing you thousands of dollars in interest. So I say the most important lesson is don't live beyond your means, being frugal and being careful.
How much detail do they get to know about your financial life? You know, I visited my old high school a few weeks ago to do a story and talk to an econ teacher who literally sat down with his daughter and walked her through what he makes, what his wife makes. I'll tell you, I never knew what my dad made, and I still don't. How about you, Beth? Do your kids know your monthly outflow and intake?
Not at all.
No.
They don't know the exact numbers. But we talk, I think, more in general terms about values, why you need to spend more and when you don't need to spend. And I think those kind of conversations are particularly important. But I do think as they get older, having those conversations and, again, explaining to them and making sure they understand that there are priorities in every family and those priorities cost money. And that's why it's important.
These aren't easy conversations to have, are they?
They're not. I'm not that much of a fun mom, honestly.
as you'll later hear from my daughter, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will. All right, Beth Koblenner, everybody. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, we did this really cool thing. We thought, let's go to the Portland Public Schools and see if they'd want to help us out with an essay contest. And they said yes. Our first winner is Gracie Hackenberg. Hi, Gracie.
Hi.
Now, Gracie is an eighth grader at Winter Haven School, and her essay is titled Reaching for the Stars. Gracie.
I burst into the kitchen after hours of sitting at the computer. I was researching ninja stars. Ninja stars were possibly the coolest toy ever. I broke into rapid conversation about how I had $16 to spend, and that included shipping, strung with many a please and finishing off with an I love you, Mom. My mom said as calmly as a cow on a sunny day, No, that isn't your money to spend on anything you want. I'll let you spend it on a book, but ninja stars? Whoever told you you could buy ninja stars? Her last words trickled off into an angry mutter, about the same as mine as I stomped out of the room. Now, my mom was usually very nice and good about respecting personal property, but how could she? She didn't own my money, and she certainly didn't own me. And although my confidence was crushed temporarily, I was determined, and she would be hearing more of me.
Gracie Hackenberg, everybody. Great job, Gracie. And our next winner is Avery Butler. Hi, Avery.
Hello.
Now, Avery is also an eighth grader. He is at Selwood Middle School. Here's an excerpt from his essay, Guide to Buying Things.
My little brother and I make a great team when it comes to making intelligent bypasses or pointing out loopholes in our parents' rules. We have a few rules of our own. Rule one. Ask Mom first. Most families have a parent that is less strict. For example, my mother lets me get things that my father won't. Usually, though, she'll say, You'll have to ask your father about that. This is a bad thing. If you ask your stricter parent first, the inevitable answer to your question will be no. Fortunately, there are ways to avoid the ask your father trap. Which brings me to my second rule. Rule two, avoiding father. Some ways to avoid being told to ask your dad are, never ask your question when the person you are asking is preoccupied, busy, stressed, or simply in a bad mood. It is hard to catch a parent who is not experiencing one of these conditions. So try your hardest to be patient and watchful. Rule three, be prepared. If by chance your father, or disapproving parent, happens to stumble upon the fact that you want to buy something they don't want you to have, you're most likely going to have to give up. The earthquake that is your parent will crumble any hopes and dreams of you ever accomplishing your objective, unless you are able to create a sturdy foundation of convincing information.
Great job, Avery. And we'll post their entire essays on our website. It's marketplace.org. Thanks so much, guys. Great job. Be sure to check out our website for coverage and tips on teaching kids about money. It's marketplace.org. And stay tuned for more of our special coming up next on Marketplace Money from American Public Media. We are live from the Winningstad Theater in downtown Portland, Oregon. And now it's time to unveil our mystery guest for the evening. Please welcome at center, 6'11", 260 pounds, former Portland Trailblazer, number 14, Chris Dudley. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I hope we can fit you in this chair.
I think we'll be all right. Hope so.
All right, now, you have been in the NBA, or you were in the NBA, for 16 years. Can you confirm for us that tall people are better with money than the rest of us?
No.
Fair enough. Now, what folks might not know, you're a certified financial planner now, and you're a parent. Your kids are here. How old are they?
They are 11, 9, 7, soon to be 8 on Wednesday.
All right. My first question is, what's tougher, defending Shaq or talking to your kids about money?
Defending Shaq.
Defending Shaq.
That's okay. A tough one.
Well, so when did you start talking to your kids about money? What age were they? Did you have a plan?
Yeah, I thought it was important. I don't know that you start off talking about money per se, but the idea of that you can't get everything that you want and that you have to have priorities and that there are certain things you value and certain things you save. So I think as time goes on, when they're super young, it's just the idea of that you can't, just because you want something, you don't get it. And then as they get a little bit older, we started with the allowance and started talking about money and what money is.
Do you remember what age they were when you started having actual conversations?
Probably 4 or 5.
Yeah. Did you find that they were interested? Was it hard to keep their attention?
I think they're interested because they see it every day. They
sure.
see money and they want to know what it, and they see that it gets things that they want. And so they're very curious in what it is.
Did you have a certain way that you worked your allowance?
Yeah, we give them allowance every week. And it was really, the idea was that you have to meet certain, you have to do things to earn your allowance. And that is, they make their beds, do the dishes, and all those sort of their family chores. And if you don't do certain things, there may be times you don't get allowance if you don't do certain things.
Mm-hmm. What was the toughest money question that they ever asked you? And I have to ask this, was it a slam dunk for you?
Mm. Little crowd reaction there. I think the toughest, well, I just heard Beth talking about, and I'll get this at the camp as someone might have do basketball camps and other types of camps, is how much money do you make or how much money does somebody else make? And talking about that can be a difficult question.
And how do you answer?
Well, it's a tough
like
one.
That?
Well, yeah, basically. Because they'll ask, with professional athletes, there's certain players who get a ton of money, and then there's certain people who don't get a ton of money. And I don't tell them how much, but I say it's not really important. It's basically that they work hard for what they're doing. I really try to segue back into you don't value, and I think this is important, you don't value people based on how much money they make. And so we talk about what really matters is what type of person they are.
Let me take you briefly from dad to a financial planner mode. What do you think is the most important thing that parents can do, presumably most of them with a lot less money than you, to teach their kids about why this matters?
I think it's, you look at money as a tool to achieve your goals, and your goals are putting food on the table and taking care of your family, and that's why money is important. It's a way of being rewarded for work that you do, and it's a way of taking care of achieving the goals for your family.
Chris Dudley, thanks so much. Chris Dudley, everybody.
Marketplace Money is supported by FINRA Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor through innovative grant-making and educational funding. Online at finrafoundation.org. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
All right, we heard earlier from Beth here that it's never too early to start talking to your kids about money. What age did you say? 4? 3? 2?
3.
3, okay. So that means that our next guest may have missed the window. I don't know. We'll find out. Please welcome two Portland families, Katie Brooks and her 5.5-year-old twins, Abby and Thiel, and Duncan Parks with his 7-year-old daughter, Isabel, and 5-year-old daughter, Sophie. Thank you all for coming. All right, Katie and Duncan, let me talk to you first. You guys have similar approaches in how you're handling money with your kids. You do give allowances. The kids put a little bit in savings, some for spending, some for giving it away. So you seem to have it pretty together at this point. What haven't you figured out at this point, Duncan?
Well, the thing I think we really still have to figure out is how to let our kids take risks and make mistakes. Like you say, we have it structured, but it's that issue, well, do we let them buy the thing that we really don't think is such a good idea and let them learn from that? It's kind of hard as a parent to let go like that, but I think that's where we need to really work.
Yeah. Katie?
Yeah, we have that challenge as well. But we also struggle with the grocery store aisle, everything's at eye level syndrome, and I have to go to the toy section every time you go to the store. So our struggle is, how do you teach them how to save and to avoid the spontaneous combustion of money every time we walk into the store?
Well, what do you think, Beth? A couple of really good questions, and it's really all about trying to protect your kids from the onslaught of advertising and television and all these things that they want.
Right. You know, as parents, it's our obligation to have to say no. It's a good lesson to learn, because as grown-ups, we walk into stores and we want things all the time, and we have to tell ourselves no. And that's really a good lesson. I think when it comes to sort of kids taking risks, it's your prerogative to make specific rules. But within those rules, if there's certain games or toys that you think aren't really educational or aren't really worth it, but your kids have saved up for that goal, it cost $10 and it took them 10 months to get it, well, then I think that's okay. So I think it's balancing that, you know, what they're doing and the responsibility that you're teaching them. But I applaud you both for getting that started.
All right, let me ask the kids a couple of questions. Abby, how much money do you get in allowance?
$5.
Theo?
$5.
Yeah, $5. Do you have a piggy bank?
Yes.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of you?
Yeah.
How much money do you have saved in it right now?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Well, let me turn to Isabel and Sophie. So, Sophie, what do you think money is for?
Buying stuff you really need.
Buying stuff you need? Good answer. Good answer. Isabel, is there anything that you're just dying to spend your money on that maybe mom and dad might not agree with?
I'm not really dying to do anything, but I sort of want a computer.
Computer. Well, what have your parents been teaching you about money, Isabel?
They tell me that some of it should be in the bank, and some of it should go to charity.
Oh, very good. And why is that?
Because charity is like for poor people who have no money, compared to us who have plenty of money to buy things we want.
Duncan, would you like to share? No, I think that's a great answer, Isabel. That's terrific. Any other questions, Mom and Dad, while we're up here? Duncan?
Well, I guess, you know, we talk about taking risks, but I also have a bit of a fear over what happens as they get older. I was really lucky, you know, you brought up the credit card issue. I was really lucky that when I went to college, I got into just a little bit of credit card trouble and learned from it without digging myself in too deep a hole. How do we get kids ready for that?
Right. Well, I think that you're starting already, and even though they're so young, they're realizing that there's money that you can save. And as they get older, they're going to be learning more and more about the fact that they don't want to waste their money. And just explaining how credit card debt, when you're paying the interest, that's wasting your money, will really hit home to them because they know what it's like to save now. I think that's really critical. And I think just having that continuous dialogue with a family is really what it's all about. Because I think that what happened is credit card companies were very aggressive and college students were getting these cards and nobody was talking to them about it. And I think by talking early and continuing this discussion, they will know.
So no credit cards now, though?
No.
No. All right. We've got a lot more coverage and tips on our website. It's marketplace.org. Katie, Abby, Thiel, Duncan, Isabel, and Sophie, thank you all so much for joining us tonight. And now, please welcome to the stage from the Oregon Children's Theater production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Oompa Loompas. We have with us Dylan Earhart, Addie Fecker, and Michael Klein is in the back as well. And so you guys are working actors, and I have to tell you, I have friends all over L.A. who would really die to know what that's like. Dylan, you're 9 years old, right?
Yep.
Yeah? You guys making $75 off the run of this production. Is that a lot of money for you?
Yeah, it's in there. I've done professional shows, so I've got a little more money, but I like it.
Yeah? What do you do with it?
I'm probably going to save it for college.
Probably?
Yeah.
Or definitely?
Probably.
How about you, Addie?
Well, I'm probably going to save mine for college, too, but I'm not sure yet because I haven't had something that has come up that I really want to buy or something like that.
Yeah? Michael, is this a lot of money for you?
It's kind of like Dylan. It's enough, but, but college or a nice Mustang.
These days, the Mustang is a lot cheaper, I'll tell you that. Did your parents tell you what to do with your money? Did they suggest that you save it for college, or did you just come up with this all on your own? Dylan?
Well, actually, my parents have been saying save some for college because you're going to need it. And just if you find something you really want, buy it. But if you have no reason to spend money, don't spend it and just keep it in your bank.
Mm-hmm. So how are you actually doing that? Does it go right into your bank account, Addie?
Well, I save. I do babysitting with my family, and I'm hoping to do it with more families. But I save it. I save it in a wallet, so I don't put it directly somewhere else. I keep it in my room for a while, you know.
Mm-hmm. Michael, have your parents talked to you about what to do with the money? Because you guys are pretty young to be getting a steady paycheck.
Yeah. Well, my dad and my mom did tell me to put it in the bank account to save it. And at first I didn't really know why, but then I read a book called Lunch Money by Andrew Clements. And it, a kid was asking, why do I need to save it? And it said, well, if the house burned down, you wouldn't have any money because it'd all burn up. So I keep a little bit at my house, but I keep the rest of it in a bank account.
Just in case the house burns down. That's pretty good. Well, so I have to ask, what are you guys planning to do with your career? Is you going to keep acting, Dylan?
I'm probably going to keep up the acting business, and hopefully I go to New York and go to Broadway and start a big
career. If you do, you won't make much more than you do now.
Yep.
How about you, Addie?
Well, I've tried a lot of things like swimming and basketball, but I've enjoyed this a lot more than a lot of the things, so I am probably going to continue with this.
Yeah. Michael, tell me what it's like to be an Oompa Loompa.
It's fun. It's hot. It's hot. It's really fun because the Oompa Loompas in the play, they're like mean, but they're mean to the mean kids, so they're kind of lovable, you could say.
Well, I was relieved to see you guys came out and you weren't painted orange, so it's nice to see your faces. Dylan Earhart, Addie Fecker, and Michael Klein from the current production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Thank you so much for joining us on stage. And now, once again, Livewire with their take on the public service announcement.
Hey, guys, ready for the big family meeting?
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Ugh.
I'm here. Just had to do a little shopping.
Okay, let's see what's on the family meeting agenda this week.
Guys, just wait. Wait a second.
What?
Mom, Dad, we have to talk. I think you know what this is about.
Whoa, if this is about that skateboarding accident, your mother double dog dared me.
Oh, please, Bob.
No, it's not that, Dad. Although I do think elbow pads were in order there. No, it's about your out-of-control spending and debt.
What? Don't be ridiculous.
Again, that's mostly your mother's fault.
I can't believe you keep throwing me under the bus.
Mom, what's in the bag?
What do you mean, what bag?
The one you're sitting on.
It's not a bag, honey. It's a chair. It's like a really arty, uncomfortable chair. Oh, hey, give me that. No.
Mom, another copy of the Twilight DVD?
It's a backup in case the first one gets scratched.
And another pair of boots?
These pinch me.
Don't you guys see that we're in a recession? When times get tough, it's time to buckle down, not spend like maniacs.
Well, I don't even really get this whole recession thing. What is this recession dealie?
How many times do I have to explain this, Dad?
Yeah, Dad, will you listen this time and put down your phone?
What? Herb's texting. Check this out, honey. He sent a picture of the Chihuahua dressed as Balloon Boy. Look at that.
Nice.
Man, what is it with parents and pictures of dressed up dogs?
I have no idea.
Now, where was I?
Recession.
Right. A recession is when the economic activity in a country slows down for a long time. Sound familiar?
Yeah, this is ringing a bell.
It can lead to job losses and people start investing less. And Dad, this applies to you. Spending less to save for what might be rainier days in the future.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? Dad, I know you really like football, but you just bought the St. Louis Rams.
Oh.
Is that really a good idea in this economy? Plus, they're 1-7 this year. What were you thinking?
Come on, Dad.
Well, Rush Limbaugh pulled out of the deal, and I figured this was my chance.
And how much debt did you have to go into?
I don't know, 30 or 40 million.
And our college funds?
Oh, cheerleading uniforms, but they're really cute.
Unbelievable.
Well, if you get down to it sounds like it's really the government's fault, right? I mean, they started it. We're completely overextended.
That doesn't mean we should follow their lead. From now on, you guys are on a budget. Mom, we'll rent the next Twilight movie. That's it.
Fine. But what should I do with this Hannah Montana doll?
We'll hold on to that for safekeeping. Did you get any of the holiday outfits?
Cammy!
Sorry.
And Dad, you're just going to have to return the Rams to wherever you brought them from.
Okay, but I'm not sure what their return policy is.
You might as well return the cheerleaders too, Bob.
Dang it.
Okay, I think that's it for now. Oh, except no more loud parties with that ridiculous music blasting. Neil Diamond isn't good for anybody.
Ugh,
lame.
Man, I'm never having any more parents.
Good call, sis.
For more of our special on kids and money, coming up next on Marketplace Money from American Public Media. We are live at the Winningstad Theater in downtown Portland, Oregon. We're talking about kids and money, and you know, you can almost mark the generations by what kids spend their money on. Chatty Cathy, Beanie Babies, Tickle Me Elmo. Anybody remember that one? But if there is one constant throughout the ages, it's comic books. So please welcome the man responsible for taking more of your children's allowance, the founder of Portland's own Dark Horse Comics, Mike Richardson.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So my first question for you is, how is Hellboy faring in this economy?
Well, as a individual who fights evil, he's in a recession-proof profession. There's always plenty of evil.
Now you have three children, all grown.
Three daughters, right.
Did you have special comics designed to teach them about money? I had a couple ideas, maybe Fantastic Four 01K?
No.
Or maybe Wonder Where's My Bailout Woman?
You know, just to be honest, we never thought about those comics. So.
Well, you can have those if you want.
Thanks.
Now, I know you come from a very modest background. Your parents didn't have a lot of money. And you didn't either when you started out. Do you think it's harder for parents to talk to their kids about money when things are tight?
Well, I think that I grew up in a time and a place. I grew up here in Milwaukee, Oregon, and I think that... people didn't really know in those days which families had money or didn't. It seemed like everyone was pretty much the same. Clearly, there wasn't as much money, but there weren't as many things to spend money on for kids. So probably didn't have as much of an impact on us. In my house, we were taught to create our own income, basically. We berry picked. I had two paper routes. I did things like water the neighbor's lawn. So I was out always making my own money to spend. And basically what you could buy back then, if you're a kid, was comic books. Obviously had an effect. Baseball
you
cards.
Those? Really?
Yeah,
you like comics?
Big collection, yeah. And actually, those were really good investments. They're worth a lot of money these days, for those of you who laughed. But nowadays, you know, people, I hear people have a hard time talking to their kids about money, but it's not a conversation you have when they're ready to have that conversation. You start it very young. And in our house, I have three daughters, as you say. They could tell as they were growing up that we were probably doing pretty well, but they had to do chores around the house to make money. They took jobs during the summer. And
so did you literally sit them down and say, look, we're gonna talk about the financial situation in this family and your role in it? Did you have the talk?
We didn't really have to have that specific talk because it was something that we sort of instilled in them for a very young age. I mean, it's the same thing, I suppose, the values that my parents passed on down to me. They learned the value of money. They had to work for the money they got. Right now, my baby has just turned 20. It goes fast. And all of the girls have jobs. They all work. In fact, two of them have two jobs. My middle daughter, who just graduated from college, is working at Dark Horse, surprise, in the marketing department, learning how to get all your kids to buy the stuff that we sell. And my youngest daughter works two jobs. In fact, I just gave her an ultimatum last week to quit working so much.
It sounds like it wasn't that difficult, this notion of bringing up the kids to be wise with their money. But why do you think that, in general, we really don't talk about this in our families?
Well, I think there's a lot of subjects that a lot of people put off because in a fast-paced world, many parents are out of the house a lot. And one of the ways they can sort of massage their own guilt is by being just a little accommodating towards their kids. But I think that, these types of issues are best dealt with over a long period of time. But I think if you're in your kid's life and you teach those values over the whole life and not have to find yourself sitting down and trying to explain something when they're 16 years old.
How much did you share with them about your financial situation?
Back then, all the time. Of course, I walk through the snow and all of those things. But
10 miles barefoot.
Yeah, 10 miles barefoot. Yeah. Not that far from the truth, but, I do tell them, and I believe this for when I talk to kids groups particularly who are trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives, I never did anything for money. I think the value of in life, and I don't mean to preach here, but you asked me, I don't believe that money is the end all. And this is absolute truth. I quit a really good job when my wife got pregnant with our first child. And then I went home and told her she had to quit, and we're going to move down to Bend, Oregon, where we knew no one, and I was going to start a comic book shop with all our savings.
And she said...
And she said, great, let's go. You know, true story. And, my friends practice an intervention. They basically came down to Bend. They tried to talk me into taking my job back and talk sense into me. And we argued till about 12 when I said okay to get them to go back home. And then I kept doing... Then we went into the publishing, and the retail stores were doing pretty good. So then the same guy said, what are you doing? You're risking your retail operation for this publishing idea you have. So they tried to talk me out of that. And then when I said I was going to go do movies, they really thought I was nuts. So now they don't say much. They say, wow, that's what you're doing? When I talk about the new thing.
All right. Mike Richardson of Dark Horse Comics, thanks. Thank you so much.
Marketplace Money is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses stay connected to their customers with email marketing and online surveys. Over 300,000 small businesses and nonprofits use ConstantContact.com. And by Palm Wonderful, 100% pomegranate juice in the curvy bottle, the antioxidant superpower. Information at pomwonderful.com.
All right, so we've heard from the youngsters and also from middle school. Those of you with teens are probably thinking to yourselves, sure, that's all well and good, but have you ever tried talking to a teenager about anything, let alone money? So Beth is back to help us out, Beth Koebleiner, and you brought your own teenager to demonstrate. Becca Koebleiner, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here.
Now, Beth, we've had you on the program before. Obviously, you are not the typical family, moms in personal finance. Well, let me actually stop there, Becca, and ask you what that's like.
Terrifying. But at the same time, it's really nice because I know that I'll be able to be, I've been prepped on this really well, and I've gone to our talks for as long as I can remember. I know exactly what to do with my 401k. Whatever it is, but, you know, it's something.
Well, Beth, if you haven't started this and you have a teenager, is it too late? How do you make up for that lost time?
I think you have to just give up and call it quits and that's it.
Get them a credit card.
No, I think that there's obviously a lot you can do. One of the most important things is being a role model. It's pretty obvious, but particularly this age, they watch everything. They observe everything. They comment on everything. And if you're going to not be careful with money, you're going to be fighting about money or disagreeing, or kids are going to pick that up for sure. I also think consistency among parents, you know, between parents is really important. And I also think that some sort of job, if your kid can get it after school or the summertime, I think it teaches them so much about the value of earning some money.
So if you haven't been having that conversation and all of a sudden your kid is 14 years old, 15 years old, how do you start it?
I think that it comes up. You know, I have friends call me now and they say, you know, my daughter's saying she wants a debit card because she's going out more. And I don't want to give her a credit card because I'm afraid she'll get into debt. But I want to give her a debit card. But I'm like, whoa, you know, you have to sort of think about the fact if you're giving your kid a piece of plastic and you're going to be constantly filling it. Yeah, maybe with a debit card, there's a little bit more control, although there are overdrafts that you're going to be paying for as well. But suddenly it's Monopoly money. So I think you have to use cash.
Now, Becca, I know at this point you are used to this subject and you claim to be cool with it, but at some point you must have thought, you know what, I don't want to talk about this, Mom, right?
Well, definitely. I think especially with the recession, it's kind of a touchy subject among a lot of people. You know, I've got friends who are kind of struggling. Their families are struggling a little more with money now. So I think it's kind of more of a tentative subject among students, especially people my own age. But at the same time, I think it's really important that parents keep telling us about this kind of stuff, because even though we might act like we're not listening or kind of, it's really good to lead by example, because sooner than most parents want to admit, we are going to be growing up. And if you're not teaching us about money, how do we expect to have a good economy?
Well, we've been setting up this whole night, as you know, as the talk. So given that your mom hasn't had any trouble with the money part of all this, I wonder, what about the other things?
Oh, God.
Have you had the other talks, and which one was the most awkward?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Tess.
Yes or no will suffice.
Okay.
So Mom is so good at talking money.
Well, my dad's a scientist, so yeah. He kind of explained to us the basics of everything else, like how babies are made, the same way he explained how to unjam the printer.
Oh, my.
Beth, you didn't get any credit for that one.
No, no. It's like, oh, that topic, honey, you take care of it. I'll do the money. Compound interest, that's my subject.
All right, Beth, you've been listening to everything tonight. What do you think this conversation tells us about, you know, the state of these talks in general in this country?
I think that, honestly, this is the first discussion I've ever been to where a show has devoted a whole hour to kids and money, and how it is a necessity for children as young as, I would again say, 2 or 3 years old, to all the way up to teenagers, to talk about money. And we've seen such a difficult time in our economy. We want to educate that generation so we don't repeat these mistakes. And they're tough conversations. I'm not saying it's the easiest in the world, but I think once you start the dialogue, it goes a long way. And kids remember, they learn and they understand. And they also copy your behavior, which is probably the hardest lesson for parents to learn.
I told you I'm paying attention at your talks.
Yeah, she
always
is.
Always reading.
All right. Beth Koblenner and her daughter, Rebecca. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Our final special guest of the evening has done something every kid dreams about at some point. He is a rock star. He makes a living, a very good living, playing guitar for one of the most popular bands of this generation. Their most recent single is the lead soundtrack title for the new Twilight movie, New Moon. Best of all, he lives right here in Portland. Welcome Chris Walla of Death Cab for Cutie. All right, Chris, there's actually only one reason I brought you here. I've been writing some songs.
Yes.
I thought maybe we could do a session after the show.
Yes, of course.
Oh, excellent. All right, so seriously, are you qualified to be on the show here? Are you a good steward of your own money?
No.
Uh-oh.
No. We're... Yeah.
Come on,
no.
You've told me you have a 401k.
I do, in fact, have a 401k. That's actually true.
All right.
You know, I've been in this band for about 12 years now, and we got to about year 9, and we figured out that it was maybe a business of some sort, and that we had to figure out how to do something. So.
All right, so it took you a while, but you eventually got there. Well, you've heard a lot of this conversation tonight. What was your money education growing up? Did your folks talk about it?
Well, yeah, they talked about money, and I probably wasn't listening as well as I should have been. It was funny. Like I told my parents I was going to be on the show, and they went, "Oh no." they were mortified about what I was going to say, but my parents, I think that they tried their hardest to make money make sense to me, and I just wasn't interested in listening to whatever they had to say, I don't think.
So were you a big spender? What'd you spend your money on?
I spent my money on records and then more records.
Those go on a turntable, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, when you did start making a good living, what mistakes did you make with your money?
Credit cards.
Uh-oh.
And, that you know, not so much just the credit cards, but the thing that happens when you join a rock band is that you have to go on tour. Being on tour also necessarily means that you're not at home to receive your credit card bills or any of your other bills, for that matter. And getting those bills paid requires having really generous roommates and or parents who live close to you and or money and or, there are a lot of things that are in the, you know, there are a lot of obstacles between being in a rock band and actually being a good steward of your money. I mean, there were a lot of years of overdraft fees and late payment penalties and all of that sort of thing.
But you're a rock star.
But I mean, the banks love to make money on those too.
All right, so how did you get out of these bad habits?
Business management. That's the horrifying.
You handed it off to someone else.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Well, for those who can't hire a business manager, do you have any words of wisdom?
Yeah, I think that it's the easiest thing in the world to say, but saving your money is not such a bad thing to do. I don't know. I mean, I'm a supremely impulsive personality. I have that thing that I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm still like a 5-year-old. I sort of go want, and like that's the end of it. And then I figure out how to do it or not, and then I cry if I don't. But.
Your business manager calls you up and goes, "No more wanting."
Oh, he does. Yeah. It's true.
All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Chris Walla, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's lots of great stuff on our website, including a reading list for you and your kids brought to us by Powell's Books here in Portland. It's at marketplace.org. So as we were putting this show together, my producer, who has small kids of her own, kept saying how she couldn't help but feel that this was yet another thing that she could mess up as a parent. And I'm sure many of you here are probably sharing the same feeling. But that was really sort of the point of this special show. There are small steps that you can take to talk some dollars and cents into your kids. And really, just even bringing it up puts them way ahead of the pack. So please, please have the talk. Marketplace Money is produced by Deborah Clark with Stephen Hoffman, Eve Troh, and Jolie Myers. Our technical director is Josh Rogerson. Our theme was composed by Mark Governor. The executive producer of the program is J.J. Yore. Special thanks this week to producer Nancy Fargali, stage manager Liam Cass-Lentz, recording engineer Jonathan Newsom, and Jen Raynack. Plus a shout-out to the Portland Public Schools, Oregon Public Broadcasting, and, of course, Beth Kohlleiter and LiveWire. Thank you, Portland!
Marketplace Money is supported by Putnam Investments, offering new ways for investors to pursue their goals with lower volatility. On the web at putnam.com/absolute return.
American Public Media.